Okay, so you've got the rings and you've paid the caterer.
The three-tiered cake has been ordered for months.
You decided on calla lilies. Simple, yet elegant.
And you've convinced your bridesmaids that chartreuse really is flattering on all skin tones. Ah, your future has been plotted to near perfection. Except for one thing, your bank accounts.
Here to help us untangle your finances before you tie the knot is Sharon Epperson. She's the author of The Big Payoff, 8 Steps Couples Can Take to Make the Most of Their Money and Live Richly Ever After. She's also a correspondent for CNBC. Welcome, Sharon.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
How big of a problem are money issues for newlyweds?
Money issues for newlyweds are very big problems. It all starts, actually, with the wedding day itself. So many couples spend so much money on that day, and they never really give themselves a financial checkup before they walk down the aisle. If you think of the average wedding that costs about $28,000, and you think about how much people put on credit to pay for that wedding, you might say $10,000, well, at least I've paid for half of it, and I only have a little more than half that I've put on my credit cards. But if you put $10,000 on a couple of credit cards, and the average interest rate on those is 18% interest, it can take you over 31 years to pay that off, and you'll have amassed $14,000 in interest.
What if you have different approaches to finances? Say one of you is a spender, one of you is a saver, one of you has racked up this huge credit card debt, even before you put all this these wedding expenses on your credit cards. Who pays off the premarital debt? How do you deal with that?
Well, different couples take different approaches, but I think it's very important to know what your spouse's, what your fiancé's debt picture looks like before you walk down the aisle, and then make the determination of whether or not you're going to help to pay that off and do that together, or whether maybe you will spend your money saving for that down payment for the house and enable your spouse to use that money to start paying off their credit card debt, their student loan debt. But again, it takes a conversation, and what so many couples fail to do is to have that conversation.
People don't like to talk about money.
No one likes to talk about money. You know, I say in The Big Payoff, we didn't start talking about money as families when we were growing up. We don't start talking about money with our girlfriends, even though we talk about so many other things. And I think it should be a key part of premarital counseling, just as you would talk about your religious beliefs, how many children you want to have. You really need to have a talk about your finances as well.
Now, you have a few budget commandments, not 10, just 3, and not necessarily written in stone, but you say that everyone should, if not follow them, at least strongly consider them. So why don't you walk through those 3 for us?
Well, one of the things I talk about is definitely paying yourself first. I think that is very, very important. And you want to do that because you want to be able to have your own money. And the other thing is you want to try to stay out of debt. Again, the best way to do this is to just not rack it up and not use the credit cards. But if you have to, try to make sure that you pay the balance in full at the end of the month, or at least more than the minimum payment. Make sure you pay it on time and slowly start to figure out how you can get out of that debt situation.
So thou shalt stay out of debt, thou shalt pay thine own self first, and also thou shalt live on one income, not two.
If you can do it. A lot of people say, this woman is crazy. How can she write that I can live on one income when I can barely make ends meet on two? I'm saying this because, again, this is not something that you may be able to do today, tomorrow. It may take 5 or 10 years, but it's a goal to try to achieve, because so many couples are stressed out and financially spent beyond even the two incomes that they bring in. You cannot be stretched to the max on two. And why can't you be stretched to the max on two incomes? Because if something happens, if someone gets sick, you are going to not be able to pay for the roof over your head. So if you can, try to live on one income, one and a half incomes, but not the full tilt to the two incomes.
Sharon Epperson, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Great to be here.
Sharon Epperson is the author of The Big Payoff, 8 Steps Couples Can Take to Make the Most of Their Money and Live Richly Ever After.
Epperson's 3 budget commandments and worksheets to help you plan and save are at npr.org.